Radio.
Oh.
Radio.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome to our top stories this hour. And before I get to all the local news here, did you see the story about the couple, husband and wife, the trophy hunters? They shot and killed a majestic lion.
No, tell me about it.
Well, they were in Africa, and I still don't understand.
I know.
I cannot fathom putting a lion in your crosshairs and pulling the trigger. How? How is that entertaining to anybody? I'll give you an example. So yesterday, I had to go up to Mount Lake Terrace. By the way, Mount Lake Terrace, they're doing a lot of things right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've upgraded a lot of things, a lot of cool shops.
I went to a grocery store that was very nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving up there. I'm thinking, I'm in Snohomish County, so you're out of this nut hole that is King County. And but I had a very sad experience driving up there. So I'm going up this street that eventually goes by Mount Lake Terrace High School. It's about 4:30 yesterday. And I see a little bunny rabbit.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a 35-mile-an-hour street. I'm going northbound. He's on the west side of the road, and he looks like he's got to get over to the east side. Mm-hmm. So this little bunny rabbit, he darts out, but he sees a bunch of cars going northbound. And he decides to freeze and go back to where he came from in a southbound car.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It was really sad. It made me very sad because I'm watching in my rearview mirror and I saw exactly what had happened. And even that, and I don't know if you realize this, those things, they reproduce like bunnies.
No. Yes, I do realize that because I think a bunch of them are doing that in my neighbor's backyard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And so I was thinking, okay, if that made me that sad,
right,
seeing a bunny rabbit, which are just everywhere, if that makes me that sad, how could somebody shoot a lion? It's unimaginable to me. Anyway.
Because they want a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah, just go to Mr. T's Trophies if you want a trophy. And so anyway, the picture posted, everybody, of course, is just hating on this couple because they're like in a romantic kiss behind this dead lion.
And they've had to have their heads in the sand, though, if they didn't think that it was going to, by posting it, that it would not outrage.
Anyway, the guy in the photo, this is apparently his second wife, and his first wife contacted their daughter, and the daughter has now disowned dad. Yeah, and she posted it. She's posted her disowning of dad.
My mom made a joke and was like, oh, maybe it's your dad. Turned out it wasn't. The lion species in Africa is slowly decreasing. They're not quite endangered yet, but they're getting there. And I know my dad will probably never watch this, nor do I care, because after knowing that he trophy hunts and thinks it's okay, I am disgusted to call him my dad.
Ooh. Okay, have we verified that this is his daughter? And what's with the music, Bo?
it's verified. It's all verified.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, by the internet?
Yes. The internet's spot on this.
Oh. And so anyway. UK papers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have full faith.
It was in the picture of the trophy hunting kissing couple was in Daily Mail, and the interview with the daughter was in The Sun.
Oh,
so
boy.
I know it's true.
Okay.
So
anyway.
Yeah. So
that's pretty funny.
Anyway, I feel bad for the bunny rabbit in Mount Lake Terrace. That's all I'm trying to say.
That is verified.
And with that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Well, this is a confluence of two of my passions. As you know, There are few things I love more than a good slice of pizza. And there's nothing I hate more than Sound Transit. So when those two forces collide, you know I have to be all over it. Let me take you down to Tacoma, where Stephen Salamone is the proprietor of Salamone's Pizza, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Stephen, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hey, Dory, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I saw your story from our news partners at Cairo 7. I was fascinated by this because my heart breaks for people down in Pierce County who overwhelmingly voted no on Sound Transit, are getting zero tangible benefits from Sound Transit for the thousands and eventually tens of thousands of dollars you're going to end up paying for it. And then when I hear that a business owner like you is getting squashed by these guys, it just breaks my heart. So tell me what's going on there, Stephen.
So like you said, we didn't vote for this. It was overwhelmingly rejected here in Pierce County, and it was King County that pushed this through. But, you know, now we're suffering the consequences in having this light rail put through our neighborhood. And, you know, Sound Transit, in my opinion, is a criminal organization. It's extortion. It's fascist. It just forces this stuff on us no matter what we want.
Yep.
And in the business world where I come from, I worked on Wall Street for years. Where I come from, if I wanted to do something, I'd have to make a business case for it. And I think what's going to happen here, because we have no data, we were never presented with data that said that this was a worthwhile thing. There are people that need to go from Pacific Avenue, where this light rail currently terminates, and to continue on up through Stadium into Hilltop. I don't know what the ridership is going to be. There's no data on it. I think that they should have ran a bus on that route to see what the ridership was and present that data. And I think that what you'll see is my guess, I'm considering putting up a betting pool in my shop, just having a poster on the wall and having everybody throw money in for how many riders that we're going to have an hour. And I believe that the ridership is going to be 8 to 10 riders per hour. And I think that that's going to end up being another subsidized
right.
rail service that's unused.
Well, look, what we're seeing is that if we had done express bus service, there are lots of options besides Sound Transit, and Sound Transit was never, ever about transportation or reducing gridlock. It was only about extracting money. So what specifically are they doing on the street that's killing you and your neighboring businesses?
Oh, my God. They've taken all of the parking spots available and blocked it all out for their construction vehicles. And then, you know, to compound the problem, you've got all of the construction guys that run those construction machines have to get there with their cars. So any other parking around, right, you're talking 3 blocks away, 4 blocks away, is taken up by those guys. One day we had to park my delivery vehicle literally 4 blocks away from my front door. Just because the parking is so bad here with all this.
What are the tangible losses to your business?
You know, I opened August 24th of last year, 2018. And, you know, it's kind of a similar period, right, with summer and all. And I am 10 to 15,000 under where I was last year per month. And it's amazing that I'm going down, and it has to be the construction because, you know, I've gotten bigger in every way. My menu's been expanded. I now have beer available. I have online ordering available. I have delivery service that I didn't have last year. I have more people, more capacity that I employ. And the residents here, people that live here and people that work here, now know us, and they've come to rely on us for great pizza.
Yeah.
So you add that all up, that should all contribute to at least on par with last year.
Well, when they take somebody's house through eminent domain for Sound Transit, they have to give them fair market value. If tearing up the street and eliminating all the parking and destroying your business, do they not have to do anything to make you whole?
You know, a neighbor of mine said that they are obligated to compensate us. I don't know how that works. I haven't had the time to look into it, but I certainly am going to look into it. Any help that I could get from, you know, any of media like you and Cairo would help in publicizing this and chasing down, and not just for me. I mean, for goodness sake, my neighbor at the Harvester is doing so poorly that they're closing at 3 p.m. now. That place used to stay up until midnight. You're talking about people's jobs now, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have great affinity for small business owners because, as I say all the time, you guys are the heartbeat of our economy. You're the job creators, the tax providers, and when an organization like Sound Transit, and I would go further than what you said at the beginning of our conversation, not only do I believe they are a criminal enterprise, I believe they are the most criminal public organization in our nation's history. I truly believe that, and that's not just hyperbole. I mean, I've got plenty of data to back it up.
No.
And when I see them just, you know, crushing the dreams of people who want to live the American dream, it really breaks my heart to hear these stories.
You know, a neighbor of mine describes my efforts to build this place as the last vestige of American capitalism. I don't think I could put it any better than that.
Okay. Well, the word is out, and if I hear of anything that, you know, would help you be made whole by Sound Transit, I'll sure share that with you. Can we talk pizza for just a minute here before I let you go?
Yes, sir.
This is one of my great passions. I make my own dough. I make my own sauce. Making pizza is one of my favorite social things when we have people over. I get the high-gluten flour. I'm still having trouble getting it as thin as I want it, Stephen. What am I doing wrong here?
I'm not certain. I need a lot more data than what you've given me. It's an extraordinarily technical and difficult process. Dough is it's science, and it's also ancient technology with the yeast, 5,000-year-old technology. It's very difficult to wrap your head around, but I'm happy to help you offline if I can.
Okay. I tell you what, I was in Italy last week, and I got a slice at a street front place. I was very disappointed. I thought here I am in the birthplace of the pies, the one I saw on Cairo TV last night at your place, it looked a lot better to me.
Thanks. Yeah. So I, you know, it's funny that you say that because I have a passion for pizza and I pretty much love all of the styles. You know, there's a million styles, you know, Detroit and Chicago and you just name it, you know,
yeah.
Not to mention my New York. Right. But the only one that I really don't like, have no passion for, is the Naples style. I just find it. I find it paper thin and flavorless and lifeless. And I could eat a whole pie and still be like, hey, what's to eat, you know?
Yeah, I do know. All right. Well, I want everybody who's listening down there in Pierce County to help out a brother who's getting hurt bad by Sound Transit. Salamone's Pizza. Where are you located specifically, Stephen?
24 North Tacoma Avenue.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear what you and all your neighboring businesses are going through. I appreciate you speaking up. More people need to be aware of how destructive this criminal organization is.
Yeah, I'd like to ask everybody listening to like us on Facebook and the Cairo show, and I'm sure we'll post this interview as well. Just creating a lot of buzz, and I'm getting a lot of support from neighbors and, you know, hashtag support local business. So
cool.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Stephen, good talk with you. I appreciate it.
God bless. Take care.
God bless you as well. Stephen Salamone down in Tacoma, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
I cannot let this day go by without marking that it is the 50th anniversary of Chappaquiddick. And this was another instance of genuine fake news where, you know, the media especially was in love with the Kennedy family. And you know what happened at Chappaquiddick? Ted Kennedy, likely drunk, drives off a bridge, flips into shallow water. Mary Jo Kopechne drowned. She very possibly could have been saved if he had sought help, but instead he paced the roadway and then met with family for hours and hours and hours because it was all about his political career. And as I was looking back at how the media handled this, this was on the 20th anniversary of Chappaquiddick, NBC Nightly News, and I'm telling you, this is just absolutely nauseating.
It was 20 years ago tonight that a car swerved off a small bridge on Chappaquiddick Island off Massachusetts' coast, and Chappaquiddick gave its name to a turning point in our political life. The car sank in the shallow water, and a woman passenger, Mary Jo Kopechne, was drowned. The driver, a young senator named Edward Kennedy, survived, but it changed his life. And possibly ended his dream of becoming president. NBC's Andrea Mitchell tonight on how Ted Kennedy is winning respect 20 years later.
That's their take. NBC News. How Ted Kennedy, who killed a woman while likely driving drunk, how he's earned respect since then. And then listen to the pathetic reporting on this.
Issues of refugees and asylum. I yield to no one in my commitment in that area.
In reforming the immigration law last week, Ted Kennedy was updating rules he first legislated in 1965. It's that kind of nuts and bolts work that has earned the respect of colleagues, even conservatives. Some call him King of the Hill, with a hand in every big issue, child care, health care, civil rights, education, minimum wage, arms control. It's a leadership role no one would have envisioned when the inexperienced Kennedy was propelled by his family into the Senate 27 years ago.
If his name was Edward Moore.
They tried to make him sound like some heroic comeback figure. He should have been in prison for years after Chappaquiddick for vehicular homicide. And then just recently, a couple years ago, Joy Behar on The View.
People have to understand his policy. Teddy Kennedy, remember Chappaquiddick? Am I the oldest person in the room?
No, I remember that. Yeah.
Chappaquiddick, I mean, a girl drowns and he abandons her and he drowned. And women still voted for Teddy Kennedy. Why?
True.
Because he voted for women's rights. That's why. That's the bottom line of it, in my opinion. I mean, I don't like either one of them, to tell you the truth, Teddy or Bill. But they're both dogs, as far as I'm concerned. But I still will vote for Bill Clinton because he votes in my favor.
I'll vote for a dog who killed a woman because he thinks like me. How pathetic are these people? And on the 50th anniversary of Chappaquiddick, Ted Kennedy, who should have gone to prison for vehicular homicide, he salvaged his career and became a lion of the media darlings. Absolutely disgusting. What a shameful anniversary this is. And that is your big lead this is.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, let's go to check the bills. Then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Asmadio, next. Hey, what is this, a dance party?
You were really dancing in there.
I was recording something important in another studio. I didn't realize time was so short.
You're still on vacation. You're still somewhere in Monaco.
That has rarely happened to me. How long ago did you finish the newscast?
About a minute.
Really?
Yes.
You know what that is? It's a nice little musical interlude.
There you go.
We should check the minute-by-minute ratings and see if people enjoyed that little musical interlude. Did you enjoy it, Sean?
Yeah, it was great. That's the longest we've been able to listen to a show bump here in a while.
I like it.
Yeah.
Are you happy that that's the one that got the most play?
Yeah, because it's funky.
Okay, good.
It's upbeat, kind of like Dory.
All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of recording something, and both Ursula and Nicole. Nicole's doing the slash sound or motion across her throat.
Well, I was just considering opening the mic and going, well,
that was
I think Dory went back on vacation.
Scared the heck out of me there. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, at number three, it's the second straight day that Howard Stern has made an appearance. Yesterday, he had that dopey endorsement of Jay Inslee. Today, he talked about, with Ron Goldman's sister, about how O.J. Simpson, who murdered Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown, how O.J. is now on Twitter. And how disturbing that is to his victims' families.
Number three.
Under horrible circumstances, I really feel for you and your family. I really got triggered because of OJ's Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you able to listen to that at all?
I stomach it. It's
you
not
do?
Something that feels great. I can't really avoid it because it keeps coming up.
When somebody kills your brother and they're on the golf course, and they're sitting there in their golf cart living a life that, I mean, most people don't get to live. It's a pretty good life. It's got to be maddening.
I think, insane. I think when he, you know, the yours truly and the laughing and the chuckling about everything, I just, that part is really hard to stomach because I look at him and think rage, murderer, domestic violence abuser. It's just hard for me to see him just enjoying, you know, the good life, like he likes to refer to it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize. I went back and was looking, you know, researching and stuff, and your brother was 25 years old when
How disturbing for that family to see OJ tweeting. And OJ has now responded to people who, the critics who say he shouldn't be on Twitter.
Number two.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. You know, I know I've been away for a while, but I don't know what's going on with America. You know, today, I was told that this individual, let's call him Person A, stated that he thought Person B should not have a right to public expression. What's interesting about that is Person B, years ago, helped fight for Person A's right for freedom of expression, public expression. And then I get home, and I'm watching politics. And I see where this one party pushed a measure to the floor that they knew they couldn't pass.
Okay, look,
that would have made them look divided, which they did.
You're a murderer. That's why nobody, why people's perception of you has changed. And at number one, hey, Jay Inslee has just spoken out about the send her back chance at that Trump rally last night.
Number one.
You know, look, this is a moment where we are all called together as Americans to stand up against this totally abject, un-American approach of the president trying to be a ringleader to actually foment and stir up the darkest approaches of racism this country has ever had. Look, we're the country of e pluribus unum, from many one. And for this president to try to suppress anyone who wants to criticize him, look, new members, we had 500 new citizens take the oath here in Seattle this 4th of July. Every single one of those new Americans have more patriotism in their left pinky than Donald Trump is in his entire being. And when they criticize his Muslim ban that I was the first governor to stand up against, they shouldn't be, quote, sent back. They should be given the Congressional Medal of Honor in my book. This is a tradition of building this.
Oh, Jay, the gift that keeps on giving. Today's sign is next. For Awesome Audio, brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. This was a jam-packed radio show. I told you, I came back from a couple weeks off just energized, fired up, ready to go with a great Friday extravaganza. But before that, we got to close today's show strong with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start down in Berkeley, California. I think we know how crazy they are down there. Soon there will be no more manhole covers in the city of Berkeley. There also will be no chairman, no manpower, no policemen or policewomen. That doesn't mean that they're eliminating all of those positions. It just means that any words that imply a gender preference will be banned by the city codes and replaced with gender-neutral terms. I cannot think of anything that can make society better than getting rid of gendered words. Down in Berkeley, this was not even considered remotely controversial. The city council member, the nut who introduced it, the primary author, Rigel Robinson, said, "There's power in language. This is a small move, but it matters." No, it doesn't. It means nothing for or about or to anybody. It's just another example of just absolute nonsensical crap that passes for progressiveness these days. The revised city documents will replace instances of gendered pronouns such as he and she and replace them with they. So even if it's referring to a singular person, it will still be they, because we can't have anything that would suggest gender. The author of the code said, "Having a male-centric municipal code is inaccurate and not reflective of our reality. Women and non-binary individuals are just as entitled to accurate representation. Our laws are for everyone, and our municipal code should reflect that." Let's take it a step further. Instead of just language, why don't we surgically make everybody non-gendered? Let's get rid of male and female genitalia. Let's just mandate. And we could do it at birth, or, there are too many people already born. We might have to retrofit the entire population. How much would that suck? If, it's Tuesday, or what's today, Thursday? It's Thursday, and you realize that next Tuesday is your government-mandated gender reassignment surgery, because government can't have gendered individuals any more than they have gendered words. I tell you what, the weekend would suck, because all I'd be able to think about, Tuesday? That's when they're going to do that to me? Ah, dang it. How am I going to enjoy this barbecue? The last one with, my guy. Let's see. I'd like to apologize for all of this. I've been on vacation. I'm all fired up. Did I mention that? Today's sign story number two. Let's go to Colorado, where a guide to inclusive language, yeah, it's a theme today's sign. A guide to inclusive language published by Colorado State University cautions students, faculty, and staff to avoid the use of the words America or American because they are considered offensive. I really feel When I say today's sign, the end is near, and I got this gendered language thing in Berkeley, and America and American is offensive in Colorado, I think the Lord may come to take us soon. According to the guide that they just put out for the upcoming school year, it explains why America and American is a word or phrase to avoid. The Americas encompass a lot more than the United States. There is South America, Central America, Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean, just to name a few of 42 countries in total. That's why the word Americano in Spanish can refer to anything on the American continent. Yet when we talk about Americans in the United States, we're usually just referring to people from the United States. This erases other cultures. And it depicts the United States as the dominant American country. There's one other reason why America is depicted as the dominant American country. Because we are. We spend billions, trillions of dollars defending all of those other countries so they don't have to spend on military. They can tell us how progressive they are with their free medical because they don't have to spend but a fraction on their defense because they know that America, oh, sorry, can I use that word? That we'll come to their rescue. Oh, man. All right, finally in today's sign, do we have any good songs about hiding? Hiding somewhere? I gotta admit, I'm not familiar with Journey's Something to Hide.
Please come.
This is a deep cut.
Tell me what's on the mind. You said there's nothing wrong.
In Missouri, the Show Me State. Sometimes when police are searching for a suspect, they'll use a canine to track down a scent. That was not necessary for an arrest made this week in Missouri. According to the sheriff's office, police were searching for a person who had a felony warrant for arrest. The person was wanted for possession of a controlled substance. The suspect hid to avoid the police, but apparently, while hiding, accidentally let out a fart so loudly it gave up the guy's hiding spot. Oh, I'm sorry. That was gender specific. It gave out their hiding spot. A Facebook comment from the sheriff's office said, "We've got to give props to the police department for using their senses to sniff him out." Right? You get it? All of that is today's sign, the end is near. A few weeks ago on the 75th anniversary of D-Day, we spent a half hour taking you back 75 years to the radio coverage of that day. We're going to do that again on tomorrow's Friday extravaganza, the 50th anniversary of the first moon walk. I think you're going to find it fascinating. I think you're going to love it because we've been loving putting this together for tomorrow's big show. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.